Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahulastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're about to listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Susan Calman. It is free. There are lots of ways you can contribute. You can buy a badge for £1 at www.gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5. Those badges are made by Big Wow. They offered us some for free if we mention them, but we think they're so good, we're going to mention them and pay for the badges. That is the kind of guy Chris Evans, not that one, is. We're good people here. You can also make a monthly donation there, or you can buy the series pass, the video pass, or the series audio pass. All of this money will be ploughed back into making more internet content, like a monthly video version of As It Occurs to Me. If we can make enough money to make that, that would be terrific. If you want to see that, please do contribute just a little bit. If you all gave us a bit of money, we would be able to do some amazing things. Check out richardherring.com for details of where I'm gigging. Go to Go Faster Stripe to buy other DVDs and shows from books from the past. But that's enough of that. Just tell your friends about the show. That's enough. That's enough of this. Why don't we go and listen to the actual podcast? Here it comes. I wonder what will happen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome man who's just putting the finishing touches to his Holocaust comedy film. It's Richard Herring. Hello, welcome to... Oh, you're much better than last week's audience. I've got to get a T-shirt of that, haven't I? I'll get a T-shirt of that, and then I can just point at it, and then it'll be fine. Hey, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre Podcast, or as some of the cool people have begun to recently have started to call it, Rahulastapas! Rahulastapas! Oh, we have had such an exciting week since last time. There's so much to talk about, the stuff... that's been going on. I think I'll talk to the audience for a little bit. There's a man here, Tackline, wearing... that's a nice T-shirt. Where'd you get that T-shirt? And an I Paid a Pound badge. Look at that. That's not bad, is it? Enjoying your meat. Oh, I meant to give Harry Shearer that Me 1 versus Me 2 cup. I wonder if it's too late to do that. He's brought... it might be too late. Ah, well. I think you would have liked that, wouldn't you, Harry Shearer? A Me 1 versus Me 2 cup. But you can get those from Cotton Cart, richardherring.cottoncart.com, those T-shirts. Oh, you know, you've got one already. Let's see who we've got. Let's see if we've got anyone. These two are new. They foolishly sat right in the front row, not knowing. A very handsome couple, where it's actually the man is deserves to be with a very attractive woman. He is good at, it's the first time this has ever happened. He's quite good looking, isn't he? I'm not saying you're not, I'm saying you are really good looking and he deserves it. I'm not saying, now look at him. Well, now we get close up. You've sort of got one of those faces, it's a bit like, you know, when you put a mirror halfway down your face to see what that would look like. When you do that, your face just looks the same, doesn't it? As if you could see him, you'd be really laughing at that, of course. You'd be laughing at his stupid, symmetrical face. Is that what you... what's your name? Caroline, is that what attracted you? What's your name? Stuart. Did you get attracted to Stuart by his weirdly symmetrical face? His bum. How symmetrical is his bum? Because I can't see. I can see this. I'm trying to get... Got a crotch shot there. That is why it's worth buying the video, because me and Susan Cowman are planning some... I'm going to take this backstage after the podcast. People who pay for that. There are people who like unusual porn. What do you do for a living, Caroline?
NHS pies.
Oh, supplies. That would be... Wouldn't work, would it? NHS pies wouldn't work. That would be, it's a way of killing the patients, and it's cheaper, isn't it? What do you supply? Pacemakers. There's nothing funny about that, is there? That is people. Are you worried about computer hackers being able to stop people's pacemakers, like what happened in Homeland? Spoiler alert. And actually, I think someone tried to kill someone with it. Is that a concern? Yeah, got to be good. Well, I'm glad you're on top of that. What do you do apart from the male modelling and the putting a mirror down and sending you a face? You're a financial advisor. What financial advice can you give me? I've started doing a podcast video thing called Meaning of Life that's costing me £20,000 and no one wants to pay for it. What should I do? Yeah, my current guest, Susan Kalman.
Last year in Edinburgh, and now I'll get her again.
You've come to see her, Susan Kalman, again. It wasn't really an answer to my question. If that's the way you financially advise people. I've got very bad trouble with my tax. Do you see, have you seen Inglourious Basterds yet? It's good. Have you seen it? It's good. You should watch that. No, it's nice to meet you, there's something, I've got a big hairy man here. So this is, I mean, that's old school Richard Harry and Death Square Theatre podcast. Right, we don't get these anymore. There's one there as well. There's a couple. Look. When did you... Have you come down from the Canadian North? Trek down... Oh, Scotland, it is close. That was close. What are you, some kind of lumberjack up in Scotland? What do you do in Scotland?
I live in London.
Do you toss cabers around? Do you pose on porridge boxes? No, you should do. I like that porridge with the man. You know that, you know the one. I can't give the brand name because, you know, oh, I can. It's got Scotch. Old fashioned. When you have porridge, because I'm presuming you do all the time due to you being Scottish, or Scotch, as I like to call it, do you have old fashioned oats or do you have the smaller new fashioned oats in your porridge? I like porridge. I'm really interested in porridge. I'm an expert at making porridge, and that's not a euphemism. I make porridge. I give my wife porridge in bed every morning. It's not a euphemism. What's your favourite one?
Small.
You're not a proper Scotchman at all. Do you use water or milk in your porridge? Well, he's turned to his wife. I hope it's his wife. She's making you porridge. She better be your wife. She is your wife. What do you put in the porridge?
Water.
So that is hard. That is proper old school. Do you use salt or sugar in the porridge? Might just stick with you two for the whole podcast. It's a mainly porridge based. So some people aren't as interested. Oh yeah, you're from Scotland, aren't you? I forgot. I should probably have thought that through. Thought, why are all these Scotch people doing it? Oh, it's there because of her. That's what it is. Good. Yeah. Well, that's very nice. That's good to see. Well, look, I think Susan Kalman is itching to come. on stage. So will you please welcome my guest this week? She is probably best known as the sandwich lady on Danny's House, although of course she was also a woman on a bus in the TV series Legit. Will you please welcome, not ringing any bells for this audience, Susan Kalman, ladies and gentlemen. Susan Kalman, welcome to the show.
That you should take that jacket off because it's quite hot up here.
Surprisingly warm. Oh, I am. It's surprisingly sweaty.
It is. Well, it's, you know, there was a lot of sexual chemistry between me and Mr. Shearer.
I was watching it. Yeah, it was nice. Felt slightly awkward at times.
Do like you know how old Harry Shearer is?
70.
He's 70 years old. That is unbelievable. He looks about 90. What an amazing man. He was as good or better backstage.
Yes, absolutely.
He was giving great conversations backstage, telling me all sorts of stuff. He said he'd come back on again. Yay! Right now, if you like, we can get rid of Susan. How are you doing, Susan? What do you remember about being the sandwich lady on Danny's House, which is quite a recent performance, I think.
I remember it very, very clearly, because I did a Cockney accent.
Did you?
They didn't want me to do it. I just did it. Because sometimes I don't feel my talent for accents is utilised enough. Yeah. And so I did it as a Cockney. Do you want a packet of crisps?
That's good. I don't find that at all offensive.
No.
Because I was in a Scottish children's TV programme where I was the porridge man. And I came in, I gave you a little porridge. It's made with salt. That is what you sounded like. That is exactly what you're saying. That doesn't sound like it to you, does it? That's the weird thing. That's the way your voice never sounds.
It's always weird when you hear yourself back and you're like, that's actually what I sounded like.
Harry Shearer said I could send my voices into The Simpsons. We all heard him.
You're quite excited about him being on, aren't you?
I was, yeah. I'm not that excited about you being on.
No, I know that.
It was always going to be an anticlimax.
I'm going to put that on my Edinburgh poster. Susan Calman. It was always going to be an anticlimax. Richard Herring.
That's the only kind of climax I can get these days, to be honest. I'm 46 years old.
You're a very old man. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Very, very old. Yep. So what was Danny's House? Was it the girl from Tracy Beaker?
It was the girl from Tracy Beaker, and I played the sandwich lady. There's really nothing... I'd like to say it was a Meryl Streep-type performance where I, you know, butterflied into some form of beautiful war criminal that was hidden in Danny's house, but I was just the sandwich lady, and I just went... And that was it, to be honest. I remember it very fondly. Very few people do.
Danny does as well. Danny remembers it.
Yeah.
Anyone see Danny's House?
One man over there.
What were you watching? Why were you watching Danny's House, you pervert? It's for kids. Can I fancy that Tracy Beaker? Yeah, she's over 18 now. Now it's the Hermione Granger syndrome, isn't it? It's allowed now. It's all right. I had to be well behaved for Harry Shearer,
so it's all coming out now. It's all coming out. All the pent up sexual tension is all coming out, spewing on top of me.
So you've hot footed it over, and we can't talk about it because it hasn't been on TV yet. We can't talk about what happened. You've been in the new series of Celebrity 15 to 1.
Celebrity 15 to 1. It's Celebrity.
It's hard when there are 15 to get for them all.
Yes, it was stressful.
Was it?
It was really fucking stressful. It was really quite difficult, and I forgot lots of things.
It's a tough quiz.
It's a very tough quiz.
Not as tough as Pointless that I was on.
And I was standing next to Patsy Kensit, and that threw me. Because I just turned around and went, that's fucking Patsy Kensit, Jesus. it was interesting. It was quite stressful. It went on for quite some time. Can't tell you what happened.
I know.
I disgraced myself at one point quite horrifically.
Did you?
That's all I'm going to tell you is there is one question and I will be slaughtered on Twitter. I mean fucking slaughtered. Well, as the words came out of my mouth, I thought, just put hashtag Calman is a dick on now.
If it makes you feel better, when my point, Celebrity Pointless, is finally on Just look at my Twitter. you'll have a good time.
Yeah,
but you do. I love quiz shows, and you're hosting a quiz show.
I am. Yes.
Tell us about that.
On Scotch
in
TV.
Yeah. Will it come on to English TV?
No. It's only for the Scottish.
Is it like Limmy Show? People, we won't be able to understand it.
Yeah,
down here.
It's
to the end.
Because it's just me going rotten tatten all the time. And we all wear kilts, and it's just Lulu. So she's the only contestant for 8 episodes. I mean, we enjoy it in Scotland, but I'm hosting a new quiz show, which is on 31st of March, which was great because I got to be like a proper shiny game show host with a proper suit and do things straight to the camera and go, have you spotted the lie? We'll find out after the break. Yeah, it was amazing. It was brilliant fun.
I think you'd be good at that.
Thanks.
I'm looking forward to not being able to watch it. It'd probably be on like a Sky Channel 475.
Yes,
or something.
I mean, you could find it if you really wanted to.
It's on
8 o'clock on a Monday night after Coronation Street.
That's
if you wanted, it's a prime time slot, mate.
It's not
I'm
bad.
Doing not bad up there. Down here, no respect. Up there, I'm carried on the shoulders of pixies.
So, I'm going to do this straight away because this is always
good
fun.
Have you done some research?
Yeah, I've done mainly...
If you've ever listened to the Edinburgh podcast, you'll know that Richard never bothers to do any research. He does lots of research about everyone else in the podcast.
Look
and
at,
I turn up and you go...
Look at Harry Shearer. Look at that.
Yeah.
I can barely read this. So dense.
Yeah.
Not even a page and a half. this is my main research now. If it is a British comedian, Harry Shearer couldn't have had... I don't think I would have done this with Harry Shearer, because you know, the respect issue is would have got in the way. There's a website... In a way, isn't it better to be disrespected, though, isn't it? In a way, isn't it? Isn't it that we feel that, you know, I feel like we're friends, that I can be rude to you?
It's good that you think that, Richard.
Yeah, that's good. It just feels like that. Only on stage. My wife says that I'm, you know, on stage I come alive, and but off stage I'm very grumpy and miserable all the time.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So but I think it's partly because she's never on stage with me, bringing me down with them. Nah. That got too big a laugh. Okay, I mean, she's not. I don't think she's here today.
No.
Fuck.
Wow.
She said she might come along, but I don't think she did. There's a website. Have you seen this called Dirty Britcom Confessions?
I saw it.
Yeah.
I looked at it.
Yeah.
I looked to see if I was on it.
Yeah.
And then I looked no further.
Well, I'm going to tell you if you are on it, and you are on it.
Yes.
But it's quite a sweet... Well, it's not. It's a bit weird. So what it is fantasies that people have had...
Uh-huh.
That of you, of British comedians. And it goes into... Like, Arthur Lowe, is there's some of him. There's
well, one if of that's the standard, I'm glad I'm there.
Stuford, there was a new one of them. People are now trying to do me so that they'll get on this, because I mention every week, so I'm not going to give them the oxygen of publicity. There's one about me being in a bath full of flour, which I did for another show. Yeah, it was a long story.
That's not practical for sex.
Well, I wasn't doing it for sexual purposes.
Okay, sorry.
But the person who saw it was getting off on it. Anyway, but I don't think they really were. Yours are quite sweet, and as were Josie Long's a couple of weeks ago. I'd love to spend a weekend with Susan Kalman and her cats and her amazing accent. And maybe some mutual fingering. But maybe, only if you both have enjoyed... Only if you both enjoyed the cats and the accent.
Please tell me someone hasn't actually written that.
That's written down. That is online. That is someone's fantasy of you. That's like that, you know, it's just casual, look at the cats. Both of you do. It'd be both mutually. As I understand it, that's what you do.
That's what we do. We've had this discussion before about what you think we do in bed.
Yes,
and it really is much kind of, if you just wave at someone and then bring it down. Actually, all it is. That's the lesbian way of doing things, yes. Like a drop of rain.
I've touched a lady, so I know what it's like.
Wow.
Yes, I misread Susan's Sudan there, which really confused me. I would like to be locked in Susan Kalman's lift Preferably with Sandy Toxvig. I think we're both of you.
A threesome with Sandy.
Have you got a lift, or is that just...
I live in a fucking mansion or something?
Maybe a block of flats.
I live in a block of flats, but there's merely stairs. Okay. It's a tenement. He knows about tenements. It's a tenement. Yeah. You don't get a lift in a tenement.
No. Well, that's not going to happen,
then,
is it?
The close, that's what it's called. The close. Mm. Yeah.
Do you think that there's any chance? I was seeing someone. This reminds me of a thing I saw in the Guardian today. They were doing there was an interview, or was it the Observer? There was an interview with Scarlett Johansson about all the SodaStream and things she's done wrong, and her film where she's an alien. And then someone underneath, one of the comments was a bloke going, "Oh, it's a shame I've heard out she's pregnant, because one of my fantasies was to have sex with Scarlett Johansson, and now that's ruined." Which, like. On a lot of levels, it's a terrible, terrible thing to say. But, I mean, for me, the main bit is, yeah, that wasn't going to happen anyway. So just you can keep that fantasy. She just doesn't she doesn't get pregnant in the fantasy, if that really bothers you.
So what you're saying is, even though I don't have a lift, that fantasy would still be okay for that.
It's all right for them to have it. Do you think there's any chance of you and Sandy double-teaming a fan? Just so they know they're not wasting their time.
I would say no.
Okay.
I mean, I haven't asked Sandy directly if she would double team for some mutual fingering.
Maybe I'll get her on and say you were up for it and see see what she says.
Oh my God.
And then
there's another one.
There's one more.
Fuck.
I want to have fun, banter and sex with Susan Kalman. Or just have tea and chocolate biscuits and listen to Squee about her cats. Either or.
Okay, that's not good though, because that means that people are just happy to sit and have a cup of tea with me.
They are, well, that's two
of
them.
As opposed to bang me senseless.
Yeah. Well, she wants to, but I think, would you want to have fun banter during sex? Is that something you would... I imagine...
I don't tend to.
No.
I tend to concentrate quite hard so that I'm impressive.
Yeah.
Because if you're all, hey, then they don't tend to call again.
No. Well, I try to put jokes in with my wife, but she doesn't like it when I'm joking during...
No, I
for some reason she finds I don't mind women laughing at me in bed. For some reason if I make a joke she laughs and it puts her off.
Right, no, I'm focused on the business at hand.
Yeah, that's good to know. Well, we've learned a lot about you. What I like is there'll be a certain...
Is that the research?
That's
please
the research.
Tell me that's not
that's
the only
it.
Research.
That's it.
That you've been on one slightly dirty website and copied out other people's fantasies about me, one of which involves mutual fingering. Is that it?
That's it. I've got another interviewer said that you had the tiniest hand she'd ever seen on anyone over 8 years old. I don't know if we've talked about this before. But I've got very tiny hands.
You do.
That is my thing. That is my bit.
Oh.
So another comedian can't come along with tiny hands. So we might have to have a handoff, a mutual hand, and see who's got the smallest hand out of the two of us. I think you might. Oh my goodness! I feel like a giant.
I have very tiny hands.
You've got a really tiny hand. I've only really met about four or five people who've put their hand against mine, who've got smaller hands than mine, who are adults. That sounds like I go doing that to lots of kids, and I don't do that to loads of kids.
Nope.
I'm just saying the people who, you know, I don't do it to kids because I presume their hands are smaller than mine. My hands are the exact same size and shape as Hermione's from Harry Potter. That is, this bloke's going to be fucking creaming in his gym. Look at that. Imagine that, mate. As the adult Hermione, though, not the child Hermione. So I don't know if that makes you feel. And so I do a joke about that, and subsequently, and I did a bit in Headmaster somewhere, because I've got freakishly tiny hands.
Yes.
I thought. And then I realised that when I was 16, I saw it in a photo, and I thought I'd never have sex with anyone because of my hands.
Because of your hands?
Yeah.
But people don't look at the size of your hands before they decide whether to not to have sex.
They
with
do.
You.
I thought they did. I thought they looked really... I mean,
they
weird.
Do look really weird.
Imagine those on Hermione's... on the end of Hermione's
well,
arms.
Well, on the end of Hermione's arms, anything's beautiful. And mine are in proportion, because I've got size 2 feet.
Have you?
People are going, oh, isn't that short actually allowed to live? And I wear size 4 trainers because I think I look weird if I wear shoes that fit me, which is why I fall over all the time, because my shoes are 2 sizes too big for me. Because if I wear size 2, my jeans actually come over the front of where my toes are, and it looks like I've not got any feet.
And do they sell size 2 shoes?
They do, in children's shops. My sister is 4'7" and she wears a size 12 shoe. What? Yeah, she's my mum's 4'8".
Right.
Yeah.
There's some genetics in this somewhere there. It's explaining all. Robert Llewellyn used to work in a cobbler's shop, and the biggest shoe that they made was a size 19.
Wow.
Imagine that on your foot.
That'd be a big
shoe. That'd be taller than you. Yes. If you fell over, you'd be taller with your shoes, the size 19. You are the smallest person we've ever had on Rich Chang's Leicester Square Bay podcast.
That's amazing. Thanks. Makes me feel very special.
And there was no prejudice about it. So the team got together and they said, I said, she's small. Is that all right? And they said, yeah, that's fine. We'll treat her just like everyone else. Except we'll talk about her being small quite a lot.
That's but fine.
Greg Davies is the tallest. Have you ever stood next to Greg Davies?
I have. I once got into a show at the Edinburgh Fringe with him by pretending to be a rucksack. And I went on his back and we walked in. You know, like one of those Garfield rucksacks.
That feels like such a setup, but that was not a setup. No. That's
When I was on 15 to 1 today, I had to have my own box.
Yeah.
I had to stand on a box. Which was slightly humiliating as they brought out, oh, I've got the box for Calvin! And then I was the same height as Matthew Wright.
Really?
Who knew?
Yeah. He's smallish, is he?
5'7" or something. It was a big box. It was an unnecessarily large plinth they put me on.
It's amazing that someone small and someone tall can still make it in the same job. It's amazing that, so you and Greg Davies. It's no. It doesn't matter. You can be freakishly tall or really small. You can still
surely
do
that's
right.
Why comedy is good.
No,
that's...
being in the middle, being exactly average height is the best for comedy.
Is it
5'7"?
Yeah,
that's
the best.
170
empirically,
centimeters.
Empirically, that's the best height.
It is.
What height's Stuart Lee?
Not the correct height. I think he's 5'9". I think he is.
Ah.
He used to stand next to me and to make himself look tall. People were surprised. It backfired because people are surprised when they meet me. I bet people think you're taller than they're expecting, though. I think they... people are imagining you about the size of a backpack. That's what I think.
People are often slightly surprised. One of the things that always happens is when people want to get their photograph taken with, which does happen occasionally, Richard. Yeah. There are people who enjoy my work. People always bend down.
Yeah.
And I always want to shout at them, just stand up, it's all right. Just put the camera further back. It's just always people going.
But I get that as well. It's,
do you?
Yeah. I mean, I'm small.
You're not small.
For a man, I'm smallish.
Well,
there's lots of tall people in the world. It fascinates me. I'll ask you an emergency question.
Oh, good.
Not going very well.
Have you got any questions?
I'm really. I wouldn't. If it was going badly, I wouldn't say that. I would. I'm having a lovely time. Thank you. I'm overexcited. It's exactly the same last time. Danny Baker was on first, and I couldn't speak because he was talking all the time. And then I came on and couldn't shut up because I was allowed to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing now because
listen, it's fine. It's your show.
It's your show.
It's really your show, isn't it?
No, it really is your show. It is my show. I don't know. I was thinking I nearly gave my show away. That was stupid. If you had to choose between having a hand made out of ham and an armpit that dispensed sun cream, which of those two things would you have?
No question.
Well, there is a question. The question is, which would you rather have?
No real decision to be made. Armpit.
Really?
Suntan lotion.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you'd have gone for the ham hand.
No, because then you would eat your hand.
Well, you could eat it, and if you bothered to listen to the follow-up stuff, you'd have found that it would grow back as long as you didn't eat all of it.
Well, I know I'd eat all of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. And the sun cream, I just thought you're from Scotland, that's no use to you.
An anorak, if it was an if it was a if
a it was, pack-a-mac.
Yeah.
Just, there'd be a pack
wrapped. Just a swathe of waterproof film it.
It's just a cling film dispenser under my arm. No, I could make some money out of it. I would just stand in a sunny country and say, would anyone like some sun cream? That's €5.
Yeah, we can only have up to one bottle a year, though.
No, that's not in your written down bits.
I know, but you'd leapt in. That's these extra bits of a people
where's
like you.
Where's the question?
It's like, can I have three wishes? I want a sausage. I wish that sausage was on your nose. That's what you've just done. I gave you an amazing choice.
Yes.
You just leapt in before you knew what it was. It's as much sun cream as one person could reasonably use in a year. So you could sell it to one person and make
£25. Sell it for people's faces.
Yeah.
You don't need to sell it for everyone's body.
How much are you going to sell it for their face?
£50.
Well, they won't buy it because you can get a whole...
I'll say it's Clarins.
You can get a whole... But, you know, I was. If you were walking around on a beach, yeah. Like going, do you want enough sun cream for your face? I will be coming out of my armpit. It's £50. I'd just go to the shop and buy some that I know is definitely
I'd sell it for £100 to each of those three people that fantasise about me.
Okay, yeah, they would.
And I'd make £300.
You would, that's
true.
And I'd
just give them mayonnaise.
If you had to choose between... I'm just going to ask you these for the rest of the podcast.
Yep.
If you had to choose between having a tit that dispensed talcum powder...
Yes.
It might not be what you're expecting... It is what she's expecting. Or a finger that could travel through time.
Oh, that's a question I've never heard before.
Yeah, which of those would you have? And it would be unlimited talcum powder, I'll let you know that. And the finger,
this is unlimited, the talcum powder.
The finger,
unlike the suntan lotion, which was strangely restricted.
There's different rules. It's got to, because that isn't as good, is it?
It's almost like you're making this up, Richard.
But your finger can travel backwards and forwards in time, just like a couple of, it could go back a couple of minutes and just poke me in the face for saying something rude.
Yep.
Or it could go back to and go in a dinosaur's cloaca.
Yep.
If you wanted to, for some it wouldn't be mutual because their A, dinosaurs don't have fingers, and B, their fingers can't travel back through. It's a one way finger system. What? It's not meant to be a sexual thing, the finger through time. The penis through time, that is a more sexual... That's a more sexual question. But the finger, what would you... It can make it sexual.
I'm just waiting to know if I've heard all the rules.
Pretty much, I think, yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
So when I make my decision, you're not going to come and go, oh, well, actually, what I meant was the finger was...
I wouldn't say that. I'd have actual.
I don't like talcum powder.
Yeah, that makes it easier.
I don't like talcum powder. I find talcum powder weird and offensive.
Wow, why do you find it offensive?
It reminds me of having a veruca sock at school.
Oh.
And I used to have quite a lot of verucas. I'm not
Caroline
dirty.
Caroline had a veruca.
She had a veruca.
Do you know about the verucas when you got together? No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are contagious as well, mate.
Yeah.
Wear slippers in the bathroom.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I once had such... No, you don't want to hear that.
I do. I definitely want to hear it. This is when I love these questions, when they get... You think, oh, it's just a trivial, stupid question about talcum powder. No, suddenly, Susan Cowman is 4 years old.
Yeah.
Veruca. How old were you when you had your veruca?
Well, I would say about... 11. Let's say 11.
Yeah.
Let's put it around that age. I once had such a big veruca on my big toe that I had to go to hospital for it. And they put some special stuff on it, and then when they took it off, half my toe was missing. I'm alright now.
Did it grow back?
Yeah, the toe grew back. The veruca didn't.
It's almost like you had a foot made of ham.
Yes. So talcum powder reminds me of veruca socks, which reminds me of swimming at school, which I hated because it was stupid. And so I'll have to take the finger that travels back and forward through time.
You could take it back through time, and when your foot was going to stand on whatever gave it a veruca, just lift the foot up with your finger, and it wouldn't.
I would go back in time and poke Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, at what a point in her life? You could do that now. You don't need a time travelling finger. Just find
you
Helen Mirren and poke her.
Poke Helen Mirren. I have tried.
Okay.
She has got quite a lot of security. I love Helen Mirren.
You love her. So you want to poke her in a nice way.
I love Helen Mirren.
Yeah.
Like in a... I love her.
If there was a Brit... if there was a Brit actor's website, would you put an entry in there?
I love her. I mean, I don't want to wear her skin.
No. There'd be a bit left over, to be honest.
I would just use some bulldog clips at the back. Yeah. I love her.
She's good.
She's not good, Richard.
She was in the remake of the film Arthur.
Well, we've all done things we regret, Richard. I went to see her in the West End when she played the Queen.
Yeah.
My wife had to spend the whole performance just with her hand across me so I didn't run on the stage and shout, "Do DCI Jane Turner, Dad!"
I think you should have done that. That should happen more at the theatre. Because that's why people are going, right? When you have a famous person on in a theatre, like it's a TV star, you should be allowed to shout who they are, their catchphrases and who they are on TV.
Yeah.
Whatever they're in Shakespeare, whatever. Yeah.
Just shout out.
Yeah, because that's why they're there, and you've paid like £50 probably to go and see
Absolutely.
Them. So you should be allowed, everyone should be allowed one. Just to have a shout. I'd be shouting out, "You were shitting Arthur! Why did you do that? Why piss
Not
on the
to
graves?"
Helen.
I would, yeah. I would do that.
Don't ask me any questions about why my craft and
nothing.
You always ask other people questions about what they do, their work, and, you know, the successful things that have happened in their career.
That's
and,
what it's harder with you. It's harder with you to do that.
I brought up
your fucking game show, didn't I? No one's seen that yet. It might be shit. So that I was nice about that. Well, you have done some stand-up comedy. What was that like?
Yeah, it was fine.
Where'd you get your crazy ideas from?
Oh, this is beautiful. It's like an interview at the Fringe with a student newspaper. Do you ask me all those questions they always ask us at the Fringe about.
Do you prefer doing TV or live stuff?
Well, it depends. I enjoy doing both because audiences are very, very different.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the immediacy of live audiences, but I also like the craft of television.
If I was stuck in the lift with you and Sandy Toksvig,
yes.
How long do you think it would be? We'd have to be in the lift before you both had a threesome with me.
A while. A while, I think, Richard. Yeah, it would take us a while to come round to the whole idea.
If you discover we were trapped in a lift and then we found out that everyone else in the world had been killed.
Yeah.
And it was up to us to repopulate the earth. You, me and Sandy Toksvig. Would you bother? Or would you just go, "Oh, well, we had a good run of the human race"?
I think we'd suggest it was natural selection and we should just leave it.
I just imagine a future world populated by you, me and Sandy Toksvig.
Children.
It would be like...
it would be...
It would be like Hobbiton. Sorry, I will ask you. Well, you did a really good interview with Stuart Goldsmith.
Oh, thanks very much, Richard. But it's did you listen to it?
I did listen to it. I love that podcast. It's a really... The Comedian's Comedian.
Yeah, great podcast.
It's up against this for the Chortle Award for the Best Internet Show.
Wow.
But, you know, it won't win because this is better. Oh, no, it's turned... I've turned into that. It's like I've got to that Ricky Gervais moment, haven't I, where... And now I've won that award too many times to joke about. No, it's really good. It should win, but also we're up against Netflix, which I would say is a slightly unbalanced competition.
Netflix.
Well, best internet thing, Stuart Goldsmith, Alex Horn, Richard Herring, or Netflix, where you have access to thousands of years of comedy and film.
Do you know, it's sometimes, that's an unfair, I'm nominated for, don't, please, this is quite important to me, Richard. I've been nominated as Celebrity Gay of the Year.
I think you should just be the Gay of the Year.
Yeah. Do you know I'm up against for Celebrity Gay of the Year? Sir Ian McKellen.
Well, that's good.
Boy Boy George yeah. and Dixie from Casualty.
No.
I know who I'm voting for. Dixie from Casualty.
I'm unaware of her work. Is she a lesbian or is the character a lesbian?
She is both a lesbian and plays a lesbian.
Because that wouldn't be fair, would it? Because then, if they just let anyone do it, I'm just going to do a gay character on here. Would you like to see that?
I would. Let's all sit back and watch this character develop. Excuse me.
It's hard to do.
Come on, Richard.
I'm holding a microphone.
Let's improv the shit out of this.
I'm holding a microphone, so I can't do both of the gestures that I need to do. I have to choose one of them. Ooh. Hello, I'm Rich Herring. I hope I win Celebrity Gay Celebrity of 2015. I like sucking men's cocks. That is one of the things, but that's not all that defines me. Also, speaking in a slightly higher voice.
I feel a Stonewall Award coming up, Richard, for your services to the gay community.
I'm hoping to win Best Celebrity Chinaman.
Could somebody bring me a drink? Could I have another Heineken? Because this is developing into something of a career-breaking interview. And I'd like to be drunk when my agent gets the call that I'm now banned from children's BBC after being on racist comedian Richard Herring.
Racist, homophobic. I haven't done women yet. I'll get on to women then.
I haven't done women yet. Wow. Is this the kind of comedian you really want to be, Richard? Isn't it a shame when people are all, thanks very much,
look at that.
When people are all like, oh, I'm right on, I'm all whimsical and I'm all, thanks so much. I'm all right on and I'm all whimsical and I'm all fucking lefty, and actually deep down you're Bernard Manning, that's what you are. It's what you want to be, isn't it?
I am not like Bernard Manning. Bernard Manning didn't, I'm doing it in an ironic way.
Oh. Yeah.
Does that make me...
Oh, I love it when people do those kind of jokes in an ironic way.
I know what I'm doing is unacceptable. Does that make me better than Bernard Manning or much, much worse?
Yeah.
Sorry,
Richard.
That's all right. Well, let's get on to the proper comedian... I can't now ask you about your depression. So I understand you suffer from depression.
Yes, it's because of homophobic bullying I've suffered. Many years. People just don't take me seriously. I don't know why. Well, no, you're the interviewer. Segue into it in a nice way.
I'll segue into it.
Try and make the crowd settle down, ask the question, do the whole thing. Come on, Richard.
Okay. What do you prefer being on radio for or doing this podcast?
Have you gone away from depression?
Yeah, I'm going to work my way up to it.
All right.
I'm going to make...
Now everyone's just waiting for when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
What do I prefer? Radio 4 or doing this?
Yeah, doing this podcast.
I really like Radio 4.
Do you, yeah.
But I really like this as well,
oh, that's
Richard.
Good. That's
I don't like to pick favourites.
Okay. So I understand you get depressed sometimes.
Christ, that was seamless, Richard. You could be a therapist. That was really brilliant. I mean, some would say that, you know, you're not very good at sensitive subjects. I would say... Yeah.
It would have been inappropriate to go straight from the Chinaman bit into that, but with the other bit in between. We'll come back to it. So, I'll get some pictures of some dead kittens.
I don't need a trigger to be depressed. The issue was you as an interviewer being a better interviewer to ask me the question without it seeming in some way crowbarred into just another sentence.
Harry,
it's you that's the problem, Harry, not me that's the problem.
Harry
Richard.
Shearer said I was good. He said backstage
well,
I was
I'm
good.
Sure Harry Shearer did. He's 70. I'm not.
So you used to be a lawyer.
Any responsibility for how these conversations go, Richard?
No,
any responsibility?
It's
at all.
A two-way street. The thing is, it wouldn't happen. You have goaded me into it. That is what's.
I have goaded you.
You've goaded me. You've made
Are
me.
Are you seriously saying I'm goading you into things?
Yeah.
Bloody hell! Quite weak-willed, aren't you, Richard?
You know what you're doing.
I do.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I just thought there was. Really bad. Thank God I didn't say it. Sometimes. No. Oh, God, no.
Oh, no. Listen, we've drawn the line at the Chinaman. God knows what he was going to say there.
God.
Come on. If he does anything.
I'll say it in a gay Chinese accent. Good luck in the celebrity gay.
Thanks. Yeah.
When soon. Did you find out?
Sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to lose to Richard. Yeah, right. They'll embrace him with open arms after this is shown. Go on, Richard. Ask me a question.
I will ask you a question.
He's got no notes. He has nothing. He has nothing.
Well, let's talk about equal marriage, because we've both recently got married.
Yeah, 2 years ago, but...
Yeah, we're still, that's 2 years ago, but for me, it feels just like yesterday to me. Maybe it's dragging for you. but now you can, in Scotland, in the autumn, you've had a civil partnership.
Yes, we did.
But you can now get married in the autumn. And are you going to get married in the
autumn? Yes, we are.
Are you just doing it for another round of presents?
No, there'll be no presents. What we're going to do is we're going to get married on the... we're going to get married the two... Well, you have to upgrade or whatever it is.
Yeah, upgrade.
And then we're going to have spend all our money on a giant party for everybody to celebrate equality finally happening in Scotland.
Can I come?
So...
Can I come? I'll celebrate equality by dressing up as the gay character I do to show it's inclusive.
Well, do you know, Sandy Toksvig is coming to the party,
really, so
it's maybe your chance.
Just need to find a lift.
No, we're just going to have a big party because I didn't think I would ever see the day where we had equality.
It is amazing.
In Scotland. It's absolutely wonderful, and so we're going to have a giant party to celebrate.
And it's not happening in England, or is it happening in England?
It is,
as well?
Yes, before it is in Scotland.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it's happening very soon here, and then it's happening in Scotland in the autumn. It's both been passed, the legislation, in both parliaments, but they have to make sure it's in law, so they have the transitionary arrangements.
Next week.
Stop joining in, it's not about you. He's just getting overexcited. I had to stamp him in the face. It's happening next week. Well, that doesn't mean anything because that was a few weeks ago.
You could get married next week for your gay.
Well, it's too late. I got married to a woman, didn't I? I wrecked it. I thought there'd never be gay marriage. I might as well. I waited 44 years for it. I'm thinking, will they bring this in so I can marry a man? And then I thought, by the time I was 40, I better get married. I'd marry some woman I've met. And then, within 2 years, suddenly I could marry men. Double the choice. I could have married that bloke. Imagine what fun we would have had together. Interrupting me when I'm trying to do my serious podcast.
What was the question?
I don't know. What I would like to see, I don't think you should settle for equal marriage.
No.
I would like to bring in a law where gay marriage gets an extra thing that heterosexual people aren't allowed, sort of super marriage.
Like?
Just it's called double marriage. Marriage squared.
Marriage squared,
and it's more holy and it's better and God prefers it. And heterosexual people for the next 2,000 years aren't allowed to do it.
Yes.
Just to piss off the
God
people who did it.
God prefers it.
Yeah, God prefers
I think that's where we're going to come in with the sticking point, to be honest. In my experience, it's not Christianity itself that many Christians are very much in favour of equal marriage and are very nice about it. It's just some religious people have a bit of an issue with it. Oh, I was in Lowestoft.
Were you?
Was that where you were picketed?
Yeah, I was picketed by, what's his face? What's his name? I've got to say Norman Tebbit, but it's not. It's the Irish Norman Tebbit. You know, Paisley. Ian Paisley's son, Kyle Paisley.
In Lowestoft.
Yeah, they picketed Chrysler Bike, and then he said something I then used on my poster the next year, something about Richard Herring thinks puerile comedy is amusing or something like that.
Oh, right.
It's someone who's barely got out of adolescence. Thought that's pretty good description.
Yeah.
Stick that
Susan
on my poster.
Susan Kalman is always an anti-climax. Richard Herring, that kind of.
Yes. Yeah. You should definitely put that on your poster.
I'm definitely putting that on my poster. yes. I would like to have an extra form of marriage. I think some people might object to that.
That would be good.
It would be good. But
well, just for a little bit, and then we go, no, we're only kidding.
Okay, well, why don't you start?
I will.
Why don't you try and persuade the David Cameron to put in an extra law which says that we're better than straight people? Let's see how that flies. Maybe Nigel Farage will take that up as one of his election promises. Yeah, let's do it.
Give it a go. You did a show about one of your many fantastic stand-up shows that you've done.
He's trying his best to pull
about,
it back.
Yeah, they genuinely don't like me anymore.
I don't, you have been I don't, quite harsh, Richard.
I don't know what I did.
And I'm just a little, I'm just a girl just sitting on the chair.
Shut up, your rucksack. So,
what? One of my many stand-up
you did
shows.
The Ladies Not For Turning, which was about...
Equal
because
marriage.
I think like a lot of people wouldn't remember... but younger people wouldn't even know of Section 28, Clause 28, which you were, well, I suppose you were growing up with that. It was a bit, but you would have been very young when Section 28 was...
No, not particularly. Really? I'm 40 this year.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, you fucker. You look about the same age as Harry Shearer to me. That's, but he looks really young.
Yeah. No, I remember it very well. It was a very distressing and disturbing time, to be honest. It was the start of... AIDS had started as well, and you got all those horrific adverts with the icebergs, and it was terrifying. And you weren't really allowed to talk about being gay. And I always remember, because you weren't allowed to promote homosexuality in anywhere that was council-owned, so... any of the schools, or you couldn't have any support groups, you couldn't have anything like that. And of course there was no internet. That's what I keep trying to say to young people. There was nowhere to find any information, so you thought you were a bit of a freak, to be honest, growing up at that time. Nowadays it's easier for young people, but it wasn't very easy at that time.
Yeah, well, and you know, people did, and other kids at school. I mean, it was because I think all these things that people don't talk about become, you know, kids then know that it's a subject that they should joke about because it's being veiled. So that and disability.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I suppose as well as when I was at school, the kind of those were the the jokes were about homosexuality and disability.
Absolutely.
And race. That wasn't just at school, that was the whole country.
And I'm
presuming in Glasgow as well, it was a sort of doubly difficult place
to be. It wasn't particularly. I think there's a lot of religious aspect of it. I mean, there's a lot of, as you know, from kind of Rangers and Celtic and religion, it's less so now, but played a huge part in what school did you go to? Was it Catholic? Was it Protestant? Religion was much more present than it is now in Glasgow. So it's a lot easier now, but looking back on it at the time, it's really why I suffer from depression. I don't like to bring it up. From that time, that's when I really started having problems with depression. And it's not unusual for a comedian to have depression. I'm not special in any way. Most comedians have some form of mental health issues.
But what I thought was interesting about the Stuart Goldsmith thing was that you were saying you are glad, you don't think you can be cured of depression in any case, but you wouldn't want to be because you like the way your brain works because of depression.
Yes, it's horrible, but at the same time, it's beautiful. To be so completely and utterly negative about the world as I am, and pessimistic about absolutely everything, and to never be able to enjoy a single moment of my existence creates lovely comedy.
But we don't like to think of you not being, happy, off stage. I mean, I think for a lot of comedians, it's a release valve. And there are some comedians who are happy on stage and depressed off stage.
Yes,
possibly me. There are certainly ones who can get that stuff out on stage and then go and have a nice home life. And you seem a very balanced and reasonable person.
We're
not even mentally balanced, but you seem very...
No, I've got a very happy home life. There's no question at all. I'm very fortunate in that regard. But I simply think that everything's awful.
Yeah.
My entire outlook is relentlessly negative.
But again, I think that's a comedian thing, and I think it's very difficult.
I'd like to be more cheerful, and I apologise. It doesn't mean that I can't do comedy and I'm not a nice person to talk to. It's just afterwards, I think you hate me.
Yeah.
That's all that happens. And I'll go, I'm on the sleeper train home, and I'll just sit and cry. I'll be drunk.
They especially really like you, but I really like you as well. But they can tell, they think all that I meant all the stuff I said, and they really hate me now. I'm going to go home and be depressed.
And I'm a lassie that suffers from depression. How could you bastard? No, I think it helps. I think the best comedy that I see is stuff that comes, not that you relate to, I'm not talking about observational comedy, but that I like going to see a comedian. And at the end of the hour at the Fringe, you come out and you know something more about that comedian. Whether or not it's true or not, because that's a different discussion about truth in comedy, it's interesting. It holds your attention for an hour. I find it very difficult to watch a comedian for an hour telling jokes. I get quite bored. I like to see someone ripping their guts out on stage and then putting them back in again. And then you leave and go, God, that was brilliant. That's what I like to see, passion in a comedian, and passion for a subject matter, so that I know that that's not been written in a room somewhere by... And I don't think there's a problem with anyone having writers at all, but I like to know that that person has sweated over that bit of material. And it's real to them. Whether it's true or not, it's real to them, and that's what I like.
Yeah, and I would agree with that, but I think also that by doing that, I mean, the shows I do when I take a subject, and it's not, there will be personal things then, you are opening yourself up in certain ways, but I always find it kind of helps me as much as anyone else to be able to discuss those things. So you must get some catharsis from discussing these subjects.
Yes.
But then I would just hope that, I know you want to carry on being able to do the job you do, but it would seem a shame to not think that you could, that one day you could be happy, that you could feel happy and not feel that, because people do like you, obviously, and you are.
Oh yes, and I'm very grateful for their affirmation.
Yeah,
it's necessary.
But you can wait. A lot of comedians, even comedians who aren't depressed, will waste their lives away thinking, "Well, I'm not doing as well as that person."
Absolutely.
And that's always thrown. It is thrown back at me all the time. And I don't mind because I am not doing as well as Stuart Lee. But that comes back. That is on Twitter. That's the that'd be the way that we can get to him by going. Yeah, well, there was one today. Oh, Stuart Lee would be better on Just a Minute than you. And I thought, well, no, he fucking wouldn't. He can't do two words without repeating something. So
out.
Yes.
But, you know, that's their go. They think, I'm going to undercut you by going this. So there are people out there trying to be that, you know, going, oh, yeah, I'm going to get you by make you think about this thing.
Yeah.
But you're all, as a comedian, you're already doing those things anyway. I mean, there's certainly people much better than Stuart Lee that I'd rather be. So, you know, if you're going to pick on someone.
I just like to be honest about the process. I just like to be honest about myself.
Yeah,
I'm very honest about my foibles and my difficulties. My show at the Fringe this year is about last May. I don't know why I'm telling this, I'll tell you anyway. I had a full nervous breakdown last year.
Right.
Full head fuck.
Right.
And it's about how I got back up on stage again. So it's a laugh a minute, I swear to God. But that's what I wanted to do a show about.
Yeah.
So that people can come and see it and decide what they think about it. But it happened and it was real and it was... I can't do comedy that's not about something that's not important to me. I find that very difficult to be vacuous about things. I like to talk about something that's important to me. And whether or not it's important to the audience, I find out as to whether or not they actually enjoy the show. But at least it's important to me. I decided in 2010, after a disastrous year at the Fringe... It was fucking awful. Everyone hated the show. I hated the show. It was terrible. That I would never go back to the Fringe again with a show that even if it went down, that I didn't believe in. So if everyone hates the shows, I don't care because I love the shows.
Yeah.
Instead of doing the shows, which I was doing, which was for agents or television bookers or any of that shite, I'm never going to get on those fucking shows anyway, so I may as well just have fun doing a show that I want to do. Apart from 15 to 1. You know, I'm not a shiny 10 minutes on a stand-up show on television kind of comedian. So.
No, but I think also by doing what you want to do, which again we saw just with Harry Shearer, is that if you stick to your guns and you take what you're doing very seriously and are fastidious about it, that what you're doing, you know, has a good chance actually of breaking through. So if you're aiming to do something to please someone else. So when I very first started doing stand-up, like in 1990, I was caught between, well, you know, I should do a set that will get me more gigs, or should I do the set that I think's good? And I just did neither. You know, I just end up being in the middle doing stuff that was neither going to get me work and that I didn't enjoy. And so and when I came back, and I hated doing stand-up then, when I came back to doing stand-up, I did the exact same thing. I just said, I'm going to just do whatever I think is all right. But I think, you know, I think that's great. But I don't think, you know, it's a shame if you're, as it seems you are, sort of beating yourself up afterwards and thinking that wasn't good enough all the time, you know?
No, I've always been like this. This is not a comedy thing. This has been my entire life, and that's the thing, is it's not about comedy. This is what I've always been like. And I'm much better than I used to be. I am. But I also don't think there's anything... There's not a problem with saying I am a relentlessly negative person.
No.
I fucking... When you meet these fucking positive people that don't have a problem with anyone, I just don't understand them. They make me feel unwell. You know, people who've never fought and they're friends with their exes and they like everyone, and I just sit in the corner smoking and drinking going, I don't fucking understand you. But that's why I'm there and they're there.
Yeah.
So I'm there to fill the gap of the blackness, and they're there to go and be Doris Day.
Well, maybe, or maybe their blackness is just is pressed down inside.
There are some people who just don't have the same problems, and that's everything in life is a scale, and I happen to often be kind of at the lower end of. I'm very happy. I'm not saying I'm not happy. I mean, what do you think? I'm not happy. I mean, I'm not really happy, but I'm fine, honestly, I'm fine. The more I say that, the less fine I sound. Everyone's gone a bit fucking silent, like I'm about to top myself or something.
It'd be great if you'd tried, just for the podcast, if you could just let
would
us
this
know.
Be a double?
Yeah.
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 God, it got pretty,
As long as they don't watch all the Chinaman bit, I'll cut that out.
Oh, wouldn't that be a pisser right at the end if I said, actually... And then you're like, oh shit, I'm going to have to cut the gold of the Chinaman stuff that we did earlier on. I'm fine. I just don't think there's anything wrong with being honest about things.
There isn't, and it's good. And I think as a comedian, the things, the routines I think, oh, I can't say that on stage, or I'm worried about saying that on stage, the routines that I personally say, oh, I'll do that tonight, and then I go, oh no, I'm not going to do it tonight.
Yeah.
Those always end up being the best routines.
Absolutely.
You know, the ones that you when you are revealing something yourself, and people like it, because most people will have experienced, if not that level, they'll have experienced that kind of anger about something, and you have to repress it. So I think that's partly what comedy's about, and that's why I would just...
I feel for you personally,
yes.
I would hope that by having that release of being able to discuss those things, I'm not trying to cure you.
A little bit.
I want you to carry on being funny.
Yeah. But it's what gives me the funny. This is why I don't want to change that. I've gone through therapy. I know how to cope with everything and it's all fine. But I don't want to change my head because my head is what does the thing that I do on stage.
Yeah.
So if you change that, then you'll become a vapid comedian standing on stage telling jokes about shit. And that's not why I gave up my job and why I started doing comedy.
No, I don't think you would, though. And I think in my 30s, I was quite unhappy for a lot of my 30s. And I thought, and then if you watch my shows from my 30s, some of them are a bit, you know, there's a sort of anger behind them, which yes. is getting out. And some of it, you know, and some of you look at it and go, oh, I wouldn't do that joke now, but I can understand why I was doing that joke then and where that was coming from. It was allowing that anger out. But, you know, I was thinking, oh, but if I lost weight or if I, you know, if I was happy, I wouldn't be funny anymore. And, you know, I'm kind of quite happy now. Oh, fuck. It's all starting to add up.
No, there's just something. I think there's something also very interesting about, you hear a lot of criticism about female comics doing the same kind of stuff about cats and cakes and all that kind of stuff and not being sure of themselves. And I'm incredibly sure of myself and I'm sure that I'm a miserable bastard. And I don't have a problem standing on stage and saying, and whether it's uncomfortable for people because it's a woman standing on stage saying, I'm a miserable bastard. When I've sat and listened to many a male comedian say that, then fine, but I am certain of what I am, which is a bit of a miserable bastard. But at the same time, I'm always the butt of the jokes. I'm always the butt of the jokes. And I think that makes it palatable to people when you do it like that. And whether it is strange to see a woman being so honest on stage about all the things about themselves which are a bit strange, or I'm a bit of a strange person. If I was in the 1930s, I'd have a smoking jacket, I'd have 16 cats and a llama, and I'd be hanging out with some cool writers and everyone would think I was fucking amazing. But I live in Glasgow in a tenement flat and I sit in a dressing gown and it's not quite as glamorous as it should have been. I was born in the wrong time. I need the time travelling finger to take me back. I should have been at the Algonquin with Dorothy Parker, pissed and drugged out my tits. I don't take drugs, by the way. I'm on Chun's BBC.
Alcohol is a drug. And also, so is heroin's a drug as well.
Alcohol's a little bit of magic juice.
It can be. Special
juice.
But alcohol's very good for a little bit, and then it goes all wrong again.
Are you worried about me, Richard?
No.
You've turned from slightly abusive to kind of going, I want you to be happy, Susan.
I thought I should be nice to you because everyone was having a go at me for being nasty to you.
Then
I just pretended to like you for a bit. When you're on your train home, I want you to be sleeping.
Richard Denning, and I love him so.
We are back. No, you know, I'm a very confused,
Was that too serious?
No, it's good.
Was that all right?
That's the gold.
Okay.
That's the gold that all the other stuff is for. It's luring you into a false sense of security, then confusion, and then you open up.
Okay.
Like, that was bad. I'm stopping myself.
Richard.
I'm stopping myself. Like a flower, that's what I was going to say. Like a beautiful flower. Flower.
Flower.
Flower. Flower with a F sound, not a V. V sound, F sound.
Why don't I have any questions from people from Wales?
Because I think it's because they were more interested in Ned Flanders than. This is a good question. I'll ask you this question.
Oh, okay.
This is for Harry Shearer. Are you excited to know there is going to be a better Godzilla film than the one you were in?
I am very excited by that.
Then. This is Archie van der Vliet has asked these questions. He does then put in brackets, by the way, the general film was bad, not you specifically.
Oh,
so he's, you know, he realises he's been rude. And I forgot to talk to must get Harry Shearer back because I wanted to talk about how terrible The Truman Show is, and he's in that. But I thought I should be polite the first time. But I wasn't with you, so maybe, and you've come back. This is your third time, I think, at least fourth.
Yeah, I keep coming back, Richard. Because every single time, it's just a little bit better. I think the next time you will have nothing to say to me because you've exhausted all of your research that you've done by merely following me on Twitter, which is the only research you appear to do.
Yeah. It's because I know we'll find the backpack. That's what we'll do. The backpack and the depression. We'll just find it. We don't need questions.
Nope.
Like other chat shows. If you go, this is a really hard question. You might not have anything for this.
Okay.
If you were to go on Dragon's Den, have you got an invention that you could put on Dragon's Den that you have always wanted to take to Dragon's Den for the dragons on Dragon's Den? It's a hard question. Because
to be honest, I don't have that amount of time in my head to think of things like that.
No,
I'm thinking of other important things. Like Helen Mirren.
Well, it could make you a lot of money if you hit the right thing like that.
I'm not going to be a fucking inventor.
Don't you have just like something like that could be improved?
No. Okay. If it's there, it's there. If it's good, it's not. If it's just throw it out. I don't care.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Tell me about the ghost you've seen. I don't know if you've told me already, but I don't think you have.
My granny had passed away, and I was lying in my bedroom after a funeral, and I was with Muppet, my son, and we both... Who's a cat? Sorry, before anyone thinks I've left my child at home. I was in bed with Muppet, and I was stroking his wee head, and we both looked up at the same time and saw my granny walking past the bedroom door. Genuinely.
Well, when you say you both saw that...
Yes. The cat looked up at the same time.
Well, we can't be sure what the cat was...
No, I can't. I'm not saying I can testify that the cat actually saw the ghost. But we both looked up at the same time, and I saw the ghost.
Yeah.
And the cat, I am surmising, saw the ghost. So, yes, I've seen a ghost.
Did your grandma have a twin sister?
No.
Was your grandma actually not really dead?
No, and okay. And this is true, yeah. I was named after my granny, Grace, and when I was making the decision to give up my job as a comedian, I went to her grave and I said to her, "Gran, should I do this or not?" And I went and I said, "Give me a sign, any sign you want, whether it's a good idea." Went home, and one of the ornaments she'd left me when she died was lying on the floor smashed, which some would take as a no. I took it as a yes. Yeah. Believe in it. I don't believe in spiritualism. I think that's all a crock of shit.
Yeah.
But I believe in ghosts and stuff like
that. So what? So when we die, we're going to be floating around outside the door?
Yeah. Wreaking vengeance on people who have done us ill.
Oh, no, fuck.
Yeah. The bit I'm looking forward to when I die.
I'm going
to
die before you.
Are you?
Yeah.
And are you going to watch me?
I will.
Are you?
I'm going to watch you.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to sense you.
I'm going to leave ectoplasm all over. When you wake up.
Why is it always about that, Richard?
There's a big sexual tension between us that is unresolved.
Is it like moonlighting?
It is.
It is, isn't it? It's like moonlighting. Won't they? But if we ever did it, then it would be ruined, Richard. If we actually did it.
I think we should
do it. It would be revolting and it would ruin everything.
Neither of us want to do it, and that's why we should do it.
Maybe we should do it for comic relief next year.
Well, we had... In one of the Edinburgh Fringe podcasts, we had the idea that we should do an Edinburgh show where you and I will have sex on stage.
Yes.
Whilst our wives have to stand and watch it. And neither of us, and the audience will be there, and neither of us really want to do it. So the play, it will be,
Why did we think that was a good idea, Richard?
Because I think it would be an interesting theatrical piece to see a lesbian having sex with a man who doesn't want to have sex with her whilst their wives watch.
That would win us the Edinburgh Comedy Award.
I think it would.
You're not eligible.
Well,
if it was a double act, you'd be.
Well, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not eligible, because I'm not successful. And I was in a double act. It's very confusing, the Edinburgh comedy. I think I'm eligible, but I've just never done a good enough show to be.
Now, I've never seen any of your shows, but I've heard they're smashing.
I've got some DVDs I can give you. You want to take them away with you?
Shit, my Mac doesn't take DVDs. I can't watch it on the way home, sorry.
You can download them from www.gofasterstripe.com, some of the early ones.
I'm on series 7 of Grey's Anatomy. I just need to finish the other 3 series and then I'll be right on that.
Have you done your shows on DVD?
No.
Why not? Chris Evans will do him. He loves good comedy.
I was thinking about maybe doing that at some point in the future,
I refuse to.
I don't think I wouldn't do it on DVD. I would do it as the download. Yeah. DVDs. Who wants to buy a DVD?
Shut up! I've got DVDs. Some of them I've bought on already, and now they're feeling stupid and like an old.
I'll totally do DVDs. I think that's the way forward.
There's videos there. There's some laser discs. In case Danny Baker turns up, he's got loads of laser discs.
I haven't done it yet, and I'll maybe do it at some point.
You should, but also I think it's quite nice just to that the thing exists. You know, beyond. Some people disagree. Who was I talking to? Disagree? Can't remember now. One of the people I'd done before. I don't care. Once it's over, that's it. I forgot. I don't know what we just said earlier on.
I feel so bad that I'm such a fleeting particle.
Yeah.
In your life, Richard.
But this is the only time I'm only alive when I'm on stage. So you get me when at my best. But yeah.
But wow.
I burn. You know, I'm burning like a firework in the sky. I'm burning like a
wow.
You know, and exploding.
Baby, you're a firework.
Look at the people. They're just gasping. They can't believe what they're seeing. It's so beautiful.
Do these people come and see this show all the time?
Some of them do. This lady Olivia does. She's a butler. That guy is usually another butler, unless he's grown. He's had a spent some money on getting some more hair. It's a different guy. Are you a butler as well? You're a psychiatrist.
I knew he was looking at me fucking funny through that whole...
He was rubbing his hands. Just a big pile of money. That's all you can see. Yes, I don't know you. You're a psychiatrist. So you don't come very often. Or you sit at the back.
I've been a few times.
Have you? Yeah,
have you?
That's good.
What made you come and sit at the front tonight?
Olivia had a spare ticket because the other butler...
The other one.
Is working as a butler. He's butling.
How do you feel sitting at the front? Do you feel more of a connection to us as people? You feel more vulnerable? Wow, that's a shame.
I have. Do you want to get involved in the Herring-Kalman sex on stage show?
What we could do is we could improv the Toxvig lift scene.
Yeah, you could be Sandy Toxvig. You don't speak Danish.
That's all right, sweetie. We would do it all in English for Richard. She wouldn't speak Danish.
It'd all be French.
Yeah.
Bang! tagline, he comes a lot.
Hiya.
David is a nuclear physicist. He comes a lot.
Oh, hi.
These two have never been at the front before. Yeah. They'd never all sit at the front again after what just happened before we came on. I can't see the people over there. Hello.
Do they all come on? Oh, hi.
Oh, they're putting the lights on. Those three empty seats are always empty.
Yeah.
Once I saw like an old ghostly Scottish woman there. Yeah. Who broke my ornament? Where is my ornament? Is it offensive to do the impression of your pet?
Listen, it's no more offensive than the gay stuff earlier on to take the piss out of my dead grandmother. I mean, it's just adding to the joy of the
evening. It was a beautiful tribute to her. She's looking down. Sorry.
Wait, no.
I've never apologized on stage before. Stephen Merchant and I apologised quite a lot once and we got off.
What did you do to him?
No.
I don't listen to this podcast.
You shouldn't.
You
don't.
What did you do? Did you do something bad?
Yeah. I did an impression of his dead grandma. I should have learned from that one. He said, never do that again. I said, I won't. And then I went, oh, yeah. Should have listened to Stephen Merchant.
Oh. We've covered a lot tonight.
We've done very well. You've got a train to get, but not for an hour. We can stay here, get you
I'm worried about
the
them. I'm worried
yeah,
about
I know
them.
It. Don't worry about them.
I am worried about
yeah,
them.
Don't worry about them.
Why am I not allowed to worry about them?
They can go if they want, can't they? It's not. The doors aren't locked.
Because they're not going anywhere. And I would have thought by now they would have started going.
I know, they can't wait. They can't wait to see what will happen next. What will Rich Herring do next?
Can I have another beer, please? And we'll see what happens. No.
We can... give her another beer. That comes off your wages, though. Who would pay if we if we did a show in Edinburgh where we had to have sex with each other against both of our wills? I mean, that's kind of, it's an interesting comment on all sorts of things.
Who would force us?
Who would? We said we're going
to
do it.
Someone would have to force us.
In the box. Oh, in the box, like with Marietta Frostrup.
In the box?
She had people having sex in a box.
Someone
could
box.
Do it in a box because then no one could see we were doing it.
Would have to force us to have sex.
Yeah.
Who would have enough of a presence to frighten me sufficiently to make me coitally intercept with you? Alexander. Thanks very much. Round of applause
Thank
for
you.
That fella. Balding doesn't frighten me. Claire Balding's not a frightening woman. She's a lovely woman, Claire Balding.
Helen Mirren could. If you had sex with me, then Helen Mirren would do anything you wanted afterwards.
Yes, I would do it now. Yeah. Let's do it now. If Helen Mirren was going to have sex with me, I would do anything.
I'd have to have something similar.
Well,
lined
who would be your.
Amy Pond, the character of Amy Pond, but not the. And.
So not Karen Gillan?
No, definitely
the
not.
The character
no
of
way.
Amy Pond. You wouldn't do
no.
Karen Gillan?
No way.
That's really quite vehement.
I'm not sick. I like Amy Pond.
So Karen Gillan would have to pretend to be Amy Pond?
Yeah, not pretend, she would have to be Amy Pond. No, I don't want her going doing a kind of parody of Amy Pond. I want her to be Amy Pond.
Heaven forfend someone did a parody of somebody. So she would have to be Amy Pond?
Mm-hmm.
For you.
Yeah, and then we.
So you would say, if Karen Gillan came up to you naked and said, right, Herring, I'm going to, yeah. Let's do it. You'd go, no, Karen.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
You would say that?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't.
I would. My wife has agreed that I can have sex with Karen Gillan if she's Amy Pond, but not if she's Karen Gillan.
That's because she knows it's never going to happen.
So, it's a bit like that bloke with Scully Hansen. But
is there anyone else? Let's take Amy Pond out of the equation. That's not going to happen.
My wife...
It's a bit late for that, sweetie.
There probably is. I'm trying to think who I've liked recently. I like 13 from House. But again, I think the character rather than the actress.
Is there anyone?
Richard Osman from Pointless? No.
He's a kind and gentle lover. Yeah. Is there anyone?
All the quiz show people are at it together. Once you're in the quiz show club, you can have
is
anyone you
Is there
want.
Anyone real that you've ever fantasised about, Richard? Because at the moment it seems like it's always characters. Is there any real people you've ever fantasised about?
Jenny Agutt from 1976.
It's very specific,
yeah,
Richard.
It is.
Anyone more recent than 1976?
I've seemed to fall in love with unobtainable people. Either they are fictional or
any
they exist in different times.
Politicians.
And Anne Widdecombe.
Anne Widdecombe.
Well, I don't fancy it, but, you know, it'd be a talking point, wouldn't it? It could be, I could do my autobiography, it could be, I took Anne Widdecombe's virginity, that could be the title, subheading, at first I had to have sex with Susan Calman.
That doesn't make me sound very good, to be honest. No, I don't know. Okay, so Fringe Show I think is good. We'll get a venue. I'm just worried. We'd have to do it every night.
I just wonder if people would. It might just be a one-off thing. We could hire a really big
one-off.
Big hall, but only if people. Who would want to see that show? Just cheer if you'd like to see it. I knew you would. Who would definitely not come and see that show under any circumstances? What if you got to have sex with Karen Gillan after you'd watched it? Cheer now.
Hey!
Yeah, so that Karen, if you can get Karen Gillan on board.
So the key to this is Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan being prepared to have sex with me and any.
Why can I not have sex with Karen Gillan?
You can, yeah. You chose Helen Mirren. That was your choice.
Well, we're more likely to get Karen Gillan than Helen Mirren, aren't we?
Why have we chosen two people with names that rhyme?
on our budget, we're more likely to get Karen Gillan than Hayley.
What is our budget? We seem to have worked out a budget for it.
Okay.
I think we could charge a lot for tickets.
I'll put in £1,000.
Okay.
So our budget is £1,000 to get Karen Gillan.
Yeah, I reckon that'll do.
Can we get
Karen Gillan? I'll put in 200. But if I put in 1,000 as well, that's like prostitution.
Does like anyone know Karen Gillan? Do you know Karen Gillan?
I think someone I know does know her. Who was it? The guy who does my photographs, Steve Brown, does my photographs for Edinburgh. He does all the photographs for Doctor Who. He says she's very nice.
But he doesn't know her.
Well, he takes photos of her, so he's hung around with her, so he could probably...
But he can't phone her up and say, we've got £1,000, will you have sex with Richard Herring and Susan Calvin?
No, I mean, I think he'd have to...
Fringe.
That wouldn't be the first thing he said. He'd have to lead up to that. Go, hi, yes, me, Steve, remember I took the photos? Remember, yeah, that's good, have you been? Yeah, oh, you're doing some more acting and stuff, that's good. I've been taking more photos. I've been taking photos of Richard Herring, actually, he's a good... Have you heard of him? No, okay, he's... Used to do a double act with Stuart Lee. Oh, yeah, you know him. Okay. Well, he's... I'll email you a picture of him. You can email one of the pictures he's taken where I look really good.
Yeah.
Because he's good. He can sort of cheat.
Yeah.
It's nature.
Yeah.
And make me look quite nice.
Yeah.
And then to go, what do you want to hook up? And then we'll...
We have to tell her it's a show and not a date.
No, that's the first... I'm just...
You can't say, you're not offering her £1,000 for sex. It's for the show. It's
I'm trying to do a realistic way we're going to get her.
How do I stretch this out over an hour?
I think the repugnance we feel for each other sexually should make that okay.
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've... would it not be quite quick?
No. But, hey, because I'm 46 years old, that is the reason.
Does it not get quicker the older
you
get?
No. God.
Does it get longer?
I wish it did.
Does it take longer?
It gets less reliable. Now, when you're 46...
Yeah.
You just, you're lucky if it comes out the end, to be honest. That's...
Is it true that sperm changes texture the older you get?
I haven't really been feeling mine so much.
I just read that in a magazine. Is someone giving you a signal
anyone,
to stop?
No, I think just made George laugh. I think I was just looking at him backstage.
I thought someone was giving us a signal.
No, I think he's either laughing or he's on the phone.
Are you
going
for questions from the audience?
No. I was going to ask if any young man could give me a sperm sample, because I can't now... There's no way for me to test that, because I am now old, so I can't feel my... I can spunk up in my hand for you, if you like, and we can both have a prod around, but without a control young man sperm. It's a scientific experiment.
We need to find the youngest man in the audience, then.
I don't know necessarily the youngest man. I mean, the youngest over 18, I think we'd have to.
What? I'm
go
assuming
realistic.
They're all over 18.
No, there's sometimes
an over 18
kids.
Show.
There'll be like a 13-year-old in this.
Are you fucking kidding? Rich, they're not any fucking kids in
there. They're sneaking. Are there any 13-year-old boys in who'd like to? I mean, it would be very, very easy to get a sample from them.
Is there any children?
They probably, we've been going for 3 hours. Probably, if there's a 13-year-old, they've probably had a wank during this at some point.
There aren't children in there.
Are there any 13-year-olds in? 14?
What's
15?
Yeah.
60? Who's young? Come on, let's make this happen. Let's give the people who pay for the video something a bit extra today. Oh my God, it's been good. Have you enjoyed it so far?
Yep.
And when I say so far, there's a lot more to go.
You haven't written anything down. Ask me. Don't stop looking at the fucking book. There's nothing in the fucking book, Richard.
There's loads in here. I'm just checking.
Ask me a question from someone else.
Have you tried to
There's a man. She didn't mean that. Go on, what are you going to say? No, he's going to ask if you've ever tried to lick your own vagina, I think is what he's going to say. Am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
No. I wouldn't see the point when you have so many wonderful thing cats. Oh, yeah. God, Jesus. My cats are not my sex.
David Baddiel knows about that. That's a little callback. We've been listening to loads of it. Yes, well...
Ask me some quick-fire questions.
Quick-fire questions.
Richard, let's finish this
would
off.
Would you rather have...
Yeah?
It's not quick-fire.
Right.
Let me think of something that can end this living hell that we have found ourselves...
How do we end this, Richard? How do we ever end it? It never seems to end, Richard.
It doesn't. That's
you and I constantly circling each other in this parade of sexual tension.
Most people
will
have
it
ended.
Ever fucking end, Richard? No,
it can't end. That's why, because if it does, then the moonlighting effect goes.
That's true.
The minute the tension is broken.
Would you
rather be a cow or a badger? And why?
Badger.
Why?
They are equipped for self-defense purposes. They're quite vicious badgers, and they have lovely big fat bottoms. That's the answer.
That's a good answer. Yeah. If you want to find out what Harry Shearer would rather be, you're going to have to subscribe to the for £1 a month, and then you can find out. It'll be on that channel. That was good.
That'll get people.
It was a cow. giving it away.
Come on.
Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
No.
I thought that one was going to come good just at that.
No.
I thought that was going to be the one.
No.
How did the death of Thomas à Becket affect the Anglo-Papal relations in the 12th century?
I think it was much like in my head. The way I felt when Take That split up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of disappointment.
What is love anyway?
Love is someone allowing you to have, putting on a mask of Helen Mirren.
That's good. They put it on. When you eat asparagus, does your wee smell of asparagus?
Never eat asparagus.
Why not?
Because your wee smells funny. No. Why did you do that, Richard? Do you know what was happening as we were having a good conversation? There had been very few racist kind of undertones. And then you made the typical vegetable Scottish blah, 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 blah.
It wouldn't grow in the Scottish climate.
That's not what you meant, was it, Richard? You meant it would... You said it because I'm Scottish, and then there's an insinuation that we don't eat vegetables and we're not fit people. That's what it was, wasn't it, Richard? Could the witness please vocalise?
Yes, I am
don't
sorry.
Don't eat asparagus, makes your wee smell funny.
Okay. Does your wife ever eat asparagus?
Yes.
Does her wee smell of asparagus have to
smell? Yes, and she makes me smell it.
Good. At last, someone has admitted that.
This is a good question.
Have you ever put anything up your urethra? It's in my emergency questions.
Why would you put something up your urethra?
Some people
put it inside other orifices, but not your urethra.
Some people do that.
That's a tiny hole. What pleasure would anyone get from putting up your urethra? Jesus, no. What kind of fucking madman are you?
It's in the book.
No, ask me.
I just asked what's in the book. It's not your question.
Ask me another one.
Did you ever play, when you were a child, did you ever play games against yourself? Like snooker, for example, would be an example.
Yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you do commentaries of it?
Yes.
What sports did you play against yourself?
Well, I didn't play sports necessarily. I played games like Kick the Can.
Okay, against yourself.
Yeah, against myself.
What are the rules of Kick the Can?
There's a can, and you hide and kick it and then go and hide. And when you play it yourself, it's a bit sad.
Yeah.
But I used to run out and go, ah, and then go, ah. Sabutio.
I played a lot of Sabutio.
Myself, yeah. And snooker. I used to play snooker myself.
I had leagues of Sabutio.
Yeah, I used to play Sabutio and snooker myself.
Did you cheat in Sabutio so that your team won?
Yes, and lawn bowls. I have my own lawn bowls. Deal with it.
Is lawn bowls the larger ones rather than bowls? They're kind of
the ones that Commonwealth people. Games. It's a proper sport. Lawn bowls. Got my own set of lawn bowls.
Lots of people die playing that. They really do. They genuinely do.
Sort
of
the sport. They're old.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not inherently dangerous sport.
It's a good statistics, though, isn't it? I think it's like more people die playing lawn bowls than other dangerous
sports. I'm not going to die playing lawn bowls.
You might do. If you do, don't come back at noon.
One more, Richard. Come on. Make it good.
If you come back, if you die playing lawn bowls, you come back, and if you're holding a lawn bowl in your hand, I'll know to give up being a comedian.
I am so doing that.
And if you do that, I'll give up being a comedian.
Will you?
Yeah.
It's almost reason to make an end of the night tonight, isn't it? That would be quite a...
It would be good if you actually committed suicide on the podcast.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
That would be a ratings winner.
It'd be amazing publicity.
You'd be on the front page of all the papers.
I would, wouldn't you? Especially when they listen to all the stuff I said to firstly goad you into it and then say, yes, please do that. Please don't. If you're going to kill yourself, please wait a week or so before you do it.
Do it now.
So it can't come back to me.
Yeah. Edit it together. This could be really bad for you, Richard.
I think even just let as it is.
It's not the best, but right, one more.
Well, I'll give you one more question. That's a question for Adam Buxton. That's what made me laugh. What have you tried for the first time this year / recently? If you haven't tried anything. Have you done anything? I went skiing for the first time this year.
Have
you done anything new this year?
Not this year, but just last year.
Yeah,
I went pony trekking.
No one's going to look it up.
I went pony trekking.
Pony trekking.
In Iceland with Phil Tufnell.
You did the same show as me.
Yeah.
Well, I went to... where did I go? It's late at night.
Yeah.
Where's Armenia I went to with David Baddiel?
Yeah, I went to Iceland with Phil Tufnell.
Yeah.
The country, not the shop. That'd be a dull show.
How was Phil Tufnell in real life?
Lovely fella. It was slightly awkward because I don't watch cricket, don't understand cricket, and didn't know who he was, but after we got past that, it was fine. He went, I'm Phil Tufnell. I went, He's a lovely fella, really nice fella, actually. Yeah. But we went pony trekking.
That wasn't all you did, though.
No, we did.
You did really difficult things on you. Just went up a mountain.
Abseiled down a crevasse.
How does that cost loads of money?
Fishing in the middle of the North Atlantic in the middle of a storm. Almost died 3 times on that television shoot.
Yeah.
Brilliant times.
I got my picture drawn by a caricaturist. It was pretty hairy at times. With David Bidabadio.
He almost died in the back of a pony. And I think the thing is, if there's one thing... I've thought about dying a lot, Richard.
Yes, me too.
And I've never thought about dying next to Phil Tufnell in Iceland. You know, when you think you're going to die, you've got a romantic vision of how it might be, and it's glamorous, and maybe in a jacuzzi with One Direction or something. Not with Phil Tufnell in Iceland.
No.
It's not how I thought it was going to end, Richard. So I fought against it. Because that's not how I didn't want the obituary to say... died in Iceland next to Phil Tufnell.
It'd be a great Trivial Pursuit question, wouldn't it? Who did Phil Tufnell die in a volcano in Iceland?
Maybe I'd end up in Pointless. There's a question.
Yeah.
Famous deaths next to Phil Tufnell. I don't know if anyone else has died next to Phil Tufnell. He's a lovely fellow, though. He's very nice.
Be a nice person to have around if you were dying.
If I was going
to
die, do you know what I mean? If there was a celebrity you were going to die next to, who would it be?
It's a good question.
Not Amy Pond.
I'm going to write that in my emergency questions. Very good. I would like to die next to... Are they going to die as well, or are they just watching me as I die?
No, they're stroking your head
as you
die. They're the last face you see as you pass.
I'd quite like Barry Cryer to be the... Because A, it would mean Barry Cryer had outlived me, which would be cool, because I worry about Barry Cryer. I really love Barry Cryer.
He's wonderful, yeah, he's wonderful.
I don't want Barry Cryer to ever die.
No.
But he probably will one day.
Okay, let me ask you, no. That's the last person you want to see as you die.
Barry Cryer, I want to see his little pudgy old face. No. And then we go,
who's the last, what's the last, not your wife.
Okay.
What celebrity would you like to...
I've seen enough of that.
What celebrity would you like to be stroking your head as you die?
If I kind of have Barry Cryer. I would like... Who's reassuring? It's hard, isn't it, when you have to answer the questions?
Yeah.
Much easier asking them. It's a good one. That's not that good because it hasn't led to any good answers. I would like...
It's the quality of the guests.
I would like Goldie from Blue Peter.
Who?
Goldie the dog from Blue Peter. Goldie, I thought you were dead. No, Richard, I have come back. You were my... Why have you chosen me, not Shep or Petra? It seems an odd... Of all the Boopia pets, why have you come up with Goldie? I don't know Goldie. It's just I thought you'd be real... I don't want Shep looking down at me as I'm dying with his little dinosaur face. I want the friendly face. Do you remember Goldie?
Yeah, yes.
Nice one.
That's a really odd thing to say. We've all had a nice night out, haven't we?
No one would have predicted that, would they? You could have taken a sweepstake. No one would have got that.
No one.
I would like, I tell you what I'd like, Goldie from Blue Peter as well. Holding Goldie on lead. Goldie.
As in Goldie the rapper.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Goldie the rapper's going, come on, Goldie, we've got to go. And Goldie's going, no. Just got to comfort Richard. I've been working so hard this week, and I've now, just through this whole podcast, I've reached just a time of hysteria. I think I might actually be dead. And what I imagine is Goldie's paw touching my head now.
Oh, Richard? I was glad I was here to see it.
Good.
Right, well, that's been nice.
I think you've got through three beers. It's not been bad. So, look, we should probably let the prisoners go.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
People will be wondering where they are. It's like the Malaysia aircraft thing. It won't mean anything to the people. I hope they'll know what's happened by now. So,
Richard.
Yeah, what?
Did you need to do that?
Laugh.
What did happen, though, eh?
I don't know, it's exciting, isn't it?
God, it's weird, isn't it?
Hopefully they're all okay.
Yes.
On holiday. So it might be nice if the guy just taking them, going, we're going on a nice holiday. We booked a hotel for you.
Okay, I was genuinely wanting to have a chat, but now you've gone into a bad thing because the Daily Mail will put that on the front page with lesbian hopes passengers are dead. So,
I don't think there's any way of knowing.
No. Thanks very much, everyone.
We probably should have gone before I...
Yeah.
Either before I said that or just... I have a feeling the podcast... at home will have ended by now. It's just a feeling I have. So that's why it's worth coming along to the actual podcast, because you see me say awful things. So I'd like to thank Susan Calman.
Thanks for having me.
And also, this is going out to all the victims/survivors, as it turns whichever it may be, I hope it's survivors.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Ask the Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Susan Calman. The music was my best, thanks to Orange Mark and everyone at the British Comedy Guide, all the staff at the Leicester Square Theatre, and Chris Evans, not that one, come on, you should know he is by now, you've listened to this enough. It was produced by Ben Walker, It's a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe and Sky Potato production. Hooray! Leicester Square! Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed that. That was free. You didn't even have to pay one pence for that. Aren't I nice? If you would like to pay a little bit of money for it, though, please head to www.gofasterstripe.com/RHLSTP5, where there's lots of different ways to make donations, or you can buy DVDs or buy a ticket for my show, We're All Going to Die, which will be touring still through April and May, or buy a ticket to see me in Edinburgh in Lord of the Dance City, or my play, I Killed Rasputin. And if we make any money from your donations, we will try and make even more fantastic internet content. If you want to see As It Occurs to Me Again, wouldn't you like to see that? Aside, yes, I would. Okay, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can, and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.